I have a question about penises. Say if you have an erection at a high altitude, and then you go, theoretically, all of a sudden you go to a low altitude. Will the pressure change affect your erection?
Ladies, if you ever wonder what male minds are doing, this is the kind of shit they're sitting around thinking about, and it always involves the penis.
Oh, yeah. Every single question has been on. So, Doc, just about my dick and balls.
Welcome to Dr. Drew After Dark. Please be advised that Dr. Drew After Dark may contain sexually oriented content and be unsuitable for young children.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Dr. After Dark. We appreciate you being here. The number is 818-253-1693 for all these great voicemails that you keep sending us. And the emails, drdrewafterdark@gmail.com. Of course, send them here. We got a pile of them today, as always. And I'm asking for suggestions from you guys at contact@drdrew.com. You don't send me suggestions. You never call. You never ask. No, seriously, I just am. If there's things you'd like to see us doing, if there's guests you'd like to see us interview, topics, I don't know, random questions, contact@drdrew.com. No, that's not where you can send an email that I will put on this show. That's where you send your suggestions and things like that. But we appreciate you supporting the people that support our show so we can keep doing this. Today is Brian Simpson's. Check out Simpson. I said Simpsons. It sort of rolls out your tongue. So the Simpsons rolls out so thoroughly that I can't even get Brian Simpson out without putting an S on it. BS with Brian Simpson. Also special season 3, the stand-ups on Netflix. And the Instagram is BS Comedian, @BS Comedian. That's you.
Yep.
Not BS Comedian Brian, just BS Comedian. Good to see you, man. Everything okay with you?
Yeah, mostly.
Busy
yeah.
as shit?
Yeah, yeah. We get free medical advice for this one.
Yeah, sure. It's part of the deal.
I've started having a thing where it first hit me on stage maybe 3 or 4 months ago, but like when I lift the mic here, I feel like a
little twinge in there?
Like a tingle of my arm. It's kind of short. You know, like I can stretch my fist out like this, but I can't bend it backwards. It like tightens up.
Okay, let me see. He's an orthopedist, but it tightens up in here?
Yeah, it's almost feels
or
like,
is it in here? It
almost feels like the nerve is shortened.
The nerve is shortened.
Yeah.
And it's not something bothering you in this joint here or here so
no,
much?
No, it's no pain.
You okay generally? You had your blood checked and everything? You ever had any medical issues?
Diabetic. Like,
you're diabetic. Yeah. So this sounds a little bit of a diabetic symptom. That's kind of what I was, yeah.
See, that's
your sugar's been okay?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but that's what sucks about having diabetes is like anything can be that.
Yes, anything. It's very what you call protein in its effect. It's all over the fucking place.
Yeah.
So.
But other than that, I've been good.
Because it does have a little bit of a neuropathic quality to it, that symptom you're talking about.
Yeah.
So to me, it suggests your sugars have not been as good as maybe you think they are. Do you know what your A1C has been?
I mean, I haven't done it in like 3 months.
Well,
it's probably
and you've been on the road the whole damn time, and so who the hell knows, right?
Yeah.
Not sleeping right, probably not structured with your diet and things. You type 2 diabetic, or are you on insulin?
No, type 2, yeah.
Type 2. And what are you taking for that?
Metformin.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one more that I just started taking.
There's a bunch of new great shit out there. Really good stuff for type 2.
I don't know why they don't just let you have
and metformin. It also could be a side effect of the meds, too. That's the other thing.
Well, yeah, because I started taking... antidepressant as well.
Oh, dude.
Let me see here. What is it? What's the name of the app? The VA app is so awful. Okay. I'll tell you exactly what the meds are, Doc.
Here, I'll look at them. So we don't, like, before the mic's heated up, we were talking about how things that I find interesting, not everybody finds interesting.
Oh, yeah, because the last time I saw you, you were dealing with the diverticulitis.
I had diverticulitis. It was driving me insane. I was getting very whiny and weird about it. And I didn't want to have a surgery, and it was going to look like I was going to have a surgery. And I went to the Middle East and did a reality show where a bunch of us trained with special ops forces as recruits. We were treated like Navy SEAL recruits. And that pressed my face to the mirror so completely I came home from that going, first of all, I'm going to take care of this fucking diverticulitis problem. And I went and saw a surgeon. He said, no surgery. We're going to give, he gave me some advice. It worked like crazy. But the other thing I learned being out in the desert was I'm old. I'm not, I think I was in denial about that. I was just sort of like pushing it all back. Like, I ache. I'm old. I'm not, I got a little fatigued. Now I'm like, I feel good for my age. I feel great. I'm very happy to have what I have. Sorry, let's see what you got here. Not up yet.
Real bad signal back here.
Well, anyway, we'll move on.
Yeah.
We'll move on.
It doesn't matter.
Anyway, do get a, you know, an A1C and get your blood sugar checked and stuff, because I'm going to predict it's not quite what you think it is. But also the meds can do it. And there's so many great medicines right now for type 2 diabetes, like really crazy shit.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Better than metformin?
Well, metformin is what we always start with. I love metformin. Actually, metformin is associated with longevity, and it's a good medicine, right, and we would never miss it. You know, you start with metformin, but it's, if you've got significant type 2, you usually need one or two other agents on top of that. So. Okay. So that's good. And luckily, right now, we live in a time when like four or five amazing new things have just hit the market. So not even just that, we're getting used to using them. We've been using them a while now. And I bet you're on one of them. I bet that's what the other medicine you're on. But anyway, so I don't know that this world knows about, you were on my podcast that I have at drdrew.com, which is the Dr. Drew podcast, which is a different thing, right? If that's what I recall. At Adam Carolla's Enterprises.
Remember? Oh, yeah.
That's right. And you told me your whole story about homelessness and stuff. I don't think this world knows that story.
Some people do. I mean, I haven't been really shy about it.
Tell it in brief, just people understand the magnitude of your success right now, which is really something to celebrate.
About 5 years into comedy, I moved to L.A. with not a good plan.
Meaning no plan.
Right, no plan. And then I ended up living in a homeless shelter for 2 years.
Wow.
While I was working at the Comedy Store as a door guy. And then I got fired from there like 7 months in. And then right afterwards, I won my claim against the VA, and I became a paid regular there. And then the next thing that happened was Tom Segura took me on the road.
Mm.
Then I got the thing on David Spade on his short-lived like late night show.
And then you're good.
And then from there, it was just like a domino effect.
Yeah, one thing after another. Yeah. Well, I was at Kill Tony last night. The show, it's a local show here, and Dave Attell was on it. And one of the things he kept saying, there were several young, like 1 year, 2 year in comedians there who were doing things like stripping and stuff. And his thing was, hey, we've all done shit to get through when we're trying to build our comedic career. Good for you guys. Do whatever the fuck you have to do. Which was kind of interesting to hear him say that. I don't know what he went through, but I'm sure he would, you know, approve of what you did, though it was tough.
Yeah, you know, I mean, once you know the thing, a lot of us aren't lucky enough to know what the thing is that we would.
Well, a lot of people don't have that.
Yeah,
it's the thing that you know you have to do, right? Which is right. Different. It's your passion, whatever it is, but you just had to do it.
Yeah, I was convinced like I would never be happy working a regular job, because I was always miserable. Well, every job I had, I was miserable, and I just couldn't see any other way. Once I found this, I was like, wait a minute, if I can make just this much doing this, and I never have to do that, oh man, it's something about working for people that you're smarter than or that you don't respect.
Mm.
That's hard for me.
Mm.
Yeah, damn near impossible.
Yeah, I've heard that from people close to me that they've had similar experiences, and they just are so miserable doing that. They know they shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah, most of the comics you talk to, they'll tell you like they have a history of being fired from jobs.
Oh yeah,
not quitting, not getting a laid off, and like straight fired.
And then doing whatever they had to do to get their comedic career going.
Right.
I remember the series Crashing that Pete Holmes had, where he talked about. He was crashing onto the people's couches and having crazy roommates, and he was doing that thing where they try to sell tickets to the comedy club. Barking, doing the barking for the comedy club. Did that for years. I've met a lot of other comedians that did the same thing. They hated it, but did it.
It barely works.
Yeah,
yeah,
it barely gets.
Every 1,000 tickets you pass, so like one person might come.
Barking, they still do that.
I think some places still do.
Crazy.
Some places are really stuck in the past.
Mm. Where'd you grow up again?
I grew up in D.C. D.C. Well, PG County, Maryland. Yeah.
Right. And you were just back out there.
I was just out there I never performed there before this weekend.
Wow.
So I hadn't been home since like 2009 or something. Yeah, yeah. If everybody came out, man, we filled up all those shows at the D.C. Improv. Got to see the family and all of that for the first time in a long time.
Right. Well, here, you've been to your mom's house before, right? You've been on all the other shows. And so we listen to voice messages, and we answer emails, and we watch videos and all that other good stuff. So should we have at it?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, here's some voice messages.
My favorite. This is my favorite shit.
All right, good.
Just talking about stuff I don't know what I'm talking
about. Well, you can. So we still want your opinion.
Okay.
Hey there, my big-titted doctor. So I was listening to the most recent episode of your podcast, and you mentioned with Tony Hinchcliffe, and he mentioned how he enemas his asshole with his bidet. Mm-hmm. And you said, oh, yeah, you kind of don't want to do that. Well, I kind of do that, and it's kind of like happens a lot. And so how bad is it actually?
Hold on,
how much am I fucking...
Squirts water up his ass.
My insides. Oh. Anyways, yeah. Piss on me, beat me.
I don't remember exactly the context of Tony's behavior. I do remember talking about it with him. It's not that big a deal. What I was sort of reflecting on was really actually giving yourself what essentially is a tap water enema, like filling yourself up. Because then that affects your colonic motility. You're absorbing some of that through the lining of the colon. It's just not letting your colon function normally. If you want to squirt a little bit up there and you're doing that kind of regular, a little bit, no, that's probably... No problem.
Okay.
Yeah, all right?
But just blasting water up your ass?
Yeah, like really like a hose, like filling up? Yeah. No, not so much.
Yeah, I think it's just most people, when they first get exposed to bidets, it's just, it's so life-changing that they're like, this can't do bad things.
No, yeah, they're like, it's literally like, blah, music playing. Like, how could I have missed this my whole life? And we don't do that much bidets here in this country compared to other countries in the world.
Yeah, and what's funny is it was invented here. Not the
bidet. Oh, is that?
Not the, technically the bidet, but the electric.
The one on the toilet seat.
Bidet, right.
The cool one.
It was invented here, and the guy that invented it, he had a hard time selling it. He invented it for senior citizens.
Oh, yeah.
And he had a hard time selling it because people didn't want to talk about shit. So he sold
it. They should have brought it here. Yeah. That's all they talk about here.
So that later became the Toto company in Japan. So now it's called a Japanese toilet, even though it was invented here.
Yeah, first time I ever saw one of those was at what's now the London Hotel. It was the Riga Royal back then.
Okay.
And they had them on all the toilet seats. And we were like, oh, what was this? And it was in Japanese writing on it and everything. It's like, no, it's something from, it's exotic notions from the East.
Oh, it's awesome. It's the best thing. I can't wait till we get to the point where we take it back.
From Japan?
Yeah.
You know,
we should have the cleanest buttholes on Earth.
I have noticed lately, I've been talking a lot about bidets to this audience, and there's a lot of enthusiasm to adopt the bidet. Yeah.
Well, I'd imagine your audience would be into it, right?
Well, yeah, they're into a lot of weird shit, but just because they're into it, I think is a marker that it's kind of getting adopted in this country a little more. And they, you know, look, it makes sense. We have so many people immigrating from other countries and things where these are routine things, so it just we get exposed to it. All right, what else you got?
Hi, Dr. Drew. My name is Eugene, and I wanted to get some advice. So right now I currently have a growth, kind of like, I thought it was an ingrown hair right underneath my testicles. And I tried to pop it, but every time I squeeze it, it hurts. So it's like a, kind of like a rubbery mass. And I tried to call a doctor, and they said they're booked out until like October. So I don't know if you have any advice on what I should do or who I should call or... Ooh. That's my son in the background.
Wow.
So, yeah, no, any advice would be good. So piss on me, beat me, and you bet I'm coming up in May.
All right, buddy.
Well, don't squeeze it.
Don't squeeze. There's something that you can really easily get called Fournier's gangrene. You ever heard of this?
Mm-mm.
Can we see it, please? Fournier's gangrene. F-O-U-R. F-O-U-R, maybe. Fournier's. There it is. We'll picture that. Make everybody very happy.
Oh, shit.
Sorry. Sorry. Sorry.
Man.
Sorry.
Man.
Yep. Sorry.
Why is it just around the crack?
It's not just around the crack. It is on the testicles and the genitalia primarily. It's gangrene of the genitalia, essentially.
Oh, shit.
And it can get going down all over the place there. And don't show us too much. It's okay. We got it there. So let's scroll.
Just put it back on bacon or something.
And yeah, so Fourniers can happen. Diabetics get it more easily than others, by the way.
It is again.
And so be careful, man. And if you get a little infection in there from shaving or from squeezing shit, that's what can happen. So that's why you don't have to fuck around too much with all the stuff.
Yeah, like I don't fuck around. But I also I also have I have a hidradenitis suppurativa.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Here, crotch. Yeah.
That is a pain in the ass.
It's a curse.
Yeah.
But that's why I was like, don't squeeze it. That's the last thing you ever want to do.
What are they giving you, steroids or something for that, or steroid cream or anything?
Yeah.
But you got diabetes, you can't take too much steroid.
Exactly.
Oh, dude.
And I can't do the surgery isn't really an option because I don't heal as fast.
You could do it though.
Yeah.
Get your sugars like just right for a while and you could do it.
Mm, okay.
So hidradenitis suppurativa is sort of a bunch of stuff growing in the armpit. It's actually a bunch of cyst growing in the armpits.
It happens around hair follicles.
Yeah. It's a real pain in the neck and be very uncomfortable.
No one knows what causes it. It's basically an auto-inflammation.
Yeah. The response to steroids and things.
Yeah.
So
whenever I get buff.
Not that kind of steroid. It's a corticosteroid, the ones that break down muscle rather than build up muscle, unfortunately, and raises blood sugar, which is why you can't use too much of that shit. But
it got real bad when I stopped working out.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
When I got
I bet you it's your blood sugar.
Right when I got out of the military, it was like that.
I bet you're somehow tied in with the blood sugar. Hmm. Everything you're talking about is like, hey, man, we got to get that blood sugar right. I mean, you probably have an okay blood sugar, but you need to get a... Just
like down
a bespoke
five.
Blood sugar. Okay. Yeah. You got to get it right. All right. Did we answer his question? You can get cysts and you can get, zits and things on your, but you also get these little spongiform things that are really nothing and they won't do anything with that. So get a doctor to look at it, but do not mess with it in the meantime.
Yeah. Don't slice it open. Don't squeeze it.
No, Jesus.
Oh, don't try to pull out an ingrown hair.
No, don't do nothing. Them. You get yourself a 4 years gangrene. All right. What else?
Hey, Dr. Drew, this is Tony T, 36, from Texas. I was just wondering about my peener and my balls that are high and tight. Yes, I was wondering if there's any productive thing that I could focus on besides making yellow and making white, you know? Feel like I want to do something else. All right. Thank you, Dr. Drew. Come on, don't be stingy. Don't be stingy now. Yeah, such a beautiful mouth.
What is going on with this dude?
I feel like he was just saying YMH catchphrases.
He was doing mostly that, but it sounded like he wanted to learn how to shit out of his penis or something. Like, what is he talking about?
Yeah, he lost me.
Yeah, he doesn't want to do white or yellow. He wants to do something else. Something productive.
Say, don't squeeze it. I guess I can say that.
Teach it to talk, to go fetch. I don't know what the hell he's talking about. Anyway, so all right, let's try somebody else. That was a cool. Sound like a cool
hey,
guy.
Drew, hey, Booth boys. Y'all know what's a banana split. My name's Warren. I'm from California, and I have a question about my testicles.
Of course you do.
My left testicle specifically. Ever since I was 21, I used to sleep on my side, and one day I woke up and I had like a dull pain sensation. It felt like my left testicle was being pulled on, and during sex, I really like my balls being tugged.
Mm.
And for the last 10 years, I'm 31 now, just every now and again, I'll get just that random tugging sensation in my left testicle. And I'm just curious what that is. When I was young, I was freaking out about cancer, but I've never actually had it looked at. Any insight would be appreciated. You bet I'm coming up in May. Take care, boys.
I love men. They have medical problems. But no one's ever seen it. I never told anybody about it. It's like, okay, great.
Can I guess at this one?
Yeah,
too?
Go ahead.
Sometimes I know your testicles can get
twisted. Yes.
Right.
Yep.
And it can. It that's the exact sensation as it feels like it's being pulled. On,
yes. Yes.
But just on one side.
Yeah, which is only on one side. It usually occurs on one side.
Right. Right.
And it's that what you're describing is called torsion.
Okay,
and the problem with torsion, it can get bad and you can cut the blood supply off. So the testes don't communicate their discomfort or their misery very accurately. They just kind of feel achy. That's all that happens.
Okay,
so
right.
That achiness can be torsion. It can be epididymitis. It can be a cyst or a spermatocele or a hematocele. It can be a lot of different stuff that kind of grow in that area that are of no real consequence. Cancer feels like a rock. It's like really hard. It's noticeably different than the rest. And often doesn't even hurt, by the way. The other ones that hurt are usually not the cancers, in my experience.
Wow.
And so somebody's got to literally feel your testes to see what that is. My bet it's more sort of like either torsion or epididymitis, something up higher in the testy. That's where that region is where you might feel.
Imagine being a motherfucker that like takes the time to leave a voicemail for a doctor on a podcast and not go to the doctor that's like nearby.
And been frightened about this for years. Thinking about it for years.
Go to the doctor, man.
Yeah, go get somebody to feel it. And there's another thing embedded in that call that I think was interesting. I've never understood, not understand to some extent doesn't even begin to express my astonishment at like guys that like their balls tortured and stuff. I don't even understand why the pulling would be satisfying. But the guys that want their balls like squeezed and beaten,
I don't get it.
I don't get it, yeah.
Or the amount of girls that assume that you like pain.
Oh.
Like, we're supposed to discuss that.
Yeah,
you can't just go for the pain.
Well, that's the thing. Men will tell you what their zone is, and they'll get you there. You know what I mean? We're not bashful about it. There may be stuff we're ashamed of that we have trouble getting to, but generally we're just sort of, we'll move you in the direction that we want you to go.
They put this knife to my throat. Yeah. Don't ask questions.
Give me another one.
Hey, Dr. Drew, longtime listener, big time mommy. I got a question for you. I know when girls are attracted to something or someone, they get wet. I was wondering, with gay guys, if they get attracted to something, does their butthole get wet?
Oh.
Third question, I need an answer. If you would, please clear this up for me. Appreciate it. Keep them high and tight.
What do you think, Brian?
I don't know if get wet in the same context.
No, because they don't have any secretory glands there the way a vagina does.
Right.
Yeah.
But something happens.
They get hard.
Oh, right. There you go.
They get hard. They're male and they get aroused. They get hard erection. So that's what they get.
There's erections.
Man, our callers can think of the crazy shit.
There's no mucous membranes in the
No Skene's glands, no Barthelme's glands. The women actually have prostate tissue around the vagina. The Skene's glands and things, these things are prostate tissue. And they will create fluids. That's where some of the squirting comes from when they squirt.
Oh, right. Because isn't the prostate where the fluid, the sperm is
correct.
Produced?
Correct. So the semen, the actual fluid you see is produced by the prostate. Wow. Like, I don't have a prostate. I had prostate cancer. It had taken out. No fluid. Still produce sperm. Still produce testosterone.
So does it come out like elementary school paste?
Just nothing.
Oh, wow. It's just damn. That's like a gift.
For your wife, your partner. Yeah, it's a very big gift. Yeah. Something to be thankful for. What else you got?
Hey, Dr. Drew and the Booth Boys. This is Robert from Tennessee, and I have a question about penises. Say if you have an erection at a high altitude, and then you go, theoretically, all of a sudden you go to a low altitude, will the pressure change affect your erection? Keep them high and tight, and don't call me daddy.
No, really not.
Yeah, I think the difference he's asking about, it would have to be an extreme.
Exactly.
Yeah, you have to go
into a vacuum.
Right. You have to get an erection and then get teleported to another altitude for you to, because theoretically it could have an effect, right?
Theoretically it could, just from the standpoint of pressure dynamics, but it actually mechanically just not.
Like if you got an erection on the bottom of the ocean and I yank you to the top, your dick might explode.
But the rest of you might explode first, right, before your dick did.
Or say you had an erection on an airplane, and I could snap you into the middle of outer space, like with no spacesuit on.
Yeah,
I think
you'd explode.
Yeah, the same thing that would happen with all the fluids in your body, they would just boil away, right?
Yep.
Because the pressure is lower, so the boiling point is lower, so you would just. The bullet in your dick would suffer the same fate as all the other blood, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so.
Absolutely. But there you go. That's not. But ladies, if you ever wonder what male minds are doing, this is the kind of shit they're sitting around thinking about, and it always involves the penis.
Oh yeah, every single question has been on. So doc, just about my dick and balls.
It's crazy. Young men, older men, they tire themselves out. Like, but I think part of that is two things. you know, that there's a lot of neurological energy and endocrinological, you know, biological energy there when they're that age. All I can fucking think about is their penis.
Right.
But also their identity is something. It's like it's a reflection of who they are.
Yeah.
You know, it's a weird thing. It's,
and add to that the fact that men's health as far as their dicks and balls are concerned isn't really something that we don't freely discuss with one another the way women do.
Compared to how top of mind it is for the individual male,
right.
He has very little access to information or conversation about that topic.
Yeah, because being vulnerable to other men is weakness.
Not only weakness, but I'm not going to trust that shithead.
Right, what else do you get some bad information asking the homies? Right. Yeah.
Right. Oh, my gosh. So. All right, what do you got? These are good.
Like hey, this. Dr. Hitler, this is Juan Pablo. I was just wondering, sometimes I wake up and take a fucking fat piss, and it goes 4, 5, maybe 8 different directions. Just wondering, is there something wrong with my urethra? Tell me about it. Anyways, keep that ass tight, Dr. Hitler, and have a sexy day.
Brian?
Correct me if I'm wrong, Doc. I think that is you not getting all the cum out of your dick.
That can happen.
Properly.
That can happen.
It may just be some, it may have to do like with a hydration thing.
Could be. It's just, you're fishing in the right pond, which is there's something irritating the tip of the urethra. Something, right. Something's keeping it from opening all the way. And you can either get split stream, which is always a good time. You can hit in the wall and the waste paper basket over here.
Yeah.
Or you get the whole wiper. You know how your car can spray wiper fluid on the windshield?
Yeah.
You can get that full effect, which is what he's talking about here.
Yeah. And I think, too, people ask about the dick or not, but they never say whether they're circumcised. Because that increases the chance that it's some kind of infection
and also
bacteria.
As you mentioned, the dryness or moisture in the area. And if you have a prepuce over the top, it's a different environment a little bit. So, yeah, your point is well taken.
It's like clean your dick a little more thoroughly. Mm-hmm. And then if the problem continues, go to a doctor.
Yeah, and it's rarely anything, but it can be a little urethritis or something. It can even be other sort of strictures in the urethra and things like that. So something to look into.
You know, I haven't had a split stream in a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because every man knows what he's talking about, but I can't remember the last time it happened.
But everyone's had it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's normal for sure.
And the first time you have when you're young, it's the craziest thing you ever saw. It's like,
you're like, I'm a superhero. I'm pissing in multiple directions here.
I can hit the mirror and the shower. Right.
I was frustrated when it first happened to me. I was frustrated that I couldn't reproduce it.
When I bring it back and make your friends look at it. Hey, look at this, guys. All right, what are you showing me, Zolo?
We got some videos for you if you want to take a look at those.
All right, if you'd like to show us those, let's do it.
Sure thing.
By the way, I was looking for a female caller, though, after all those males and their dick questions. I was wondering if there's any young ladies before we go to the...
We probably have some.
Yeah.
We got to have young ladies are question.
First of all, they're a little more joyous in their questioning, and they're always more imaginative in the material they're talking about. They're rarely talking about their dick, so go ahead.
I'm proud of myself.
Hey, Dr. Mommy. My name is Sonia, and I've had heart palpitations. Slight heart palpitations since as long as I can remember. I was probably like a small child when I first started realizing them. And it wasn't until I got older that like my friends would be like, oh my God, I think there's something wrong with me. Like I'm having heart palpitations. And I was always like, what the fuck are you guys talking about? That happens to me all the time. I've always been slightly skinny. I'm like not underweight by any means. I'm probably like average, but I was honestly wondering if that could be just like a normal thing or if there's something wrong with me. I mean, I don't know. It's kind of weird. I don't know why everyone else is so worried about it and I'm not. So anyway, just wondering. I also have pretty bad anxiety and panic attacks. I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but anyway, thank you. Bye.
All right, my dear. So Sonia's lovely, right? Yeah. So here's what how you can tie anxiety palpitations together is something called mitral valve prolapse, which young, thin women are highly prone to, which is just a little ballooning of the mitral valve during what's called systole. As opposed to the heart contracting and holding still, it kind of balloons up a little bit. Mm. And that, for whatever reasons people don't understand, is associated with palpitations, chest pain, and anxiety.
And how's that different from a murmur?
Murmur is the sound the doctor hears when he or she puts a stethoscope on the heart from blood flowing in nonlinear pattern. And things like a valve leak or a valve stricture, these kinds of things, or a intraventricular septal defect or an atrial septal defect. These things, lots of things cause murmurs, sounds. Okay. We learn to identify what exactly the sound is, where it is in the heart cycle.
But that's not her problem.
She could have a little, you can have a click with the mitral valve prolapse, but she's not saying that. She's feeling this. She's probably describing this. Bump, 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 bump. Bump, 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 bump.
Okay.
Bump. And that is premature systoles, and those are completely normal, completely normal. The problem is the fact that she's had this her whole life, though, makes me go, you want her to get an echocardiogram to make sure she doesn't have some sort of congenital heart defect that's setting this up, and you'd want her to have an EKG to make sure that that's actually the rhythm that what I've just put down, what I just described here, that's actually the rhythm she has. Sometimes you can have other rhythms, reentrant rhythms, things like that are a little more significant. Just generally speaking, the extra beats, bump, 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 not as worrisome as bump, 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 bump. That's more the worrisome.
It's amazing that her question was not about her vagina.
Women concern themselves with everything, the holistic world. Men are thinking about the peni. That's it. So you saying you're proud of yourself or something?
Oh, yeah, because I guessed a lot of these things right.
You were good. No, you just guessed them. You knew.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. All right, now let's get ourselves some videos here. So here you go, Brian. Hold on tight.
Have you been introduced to the Hong Kong tailor yet?
I have not. Tell me about him.
I think you'll like him.
Can you describe what we're about to see?
He's a tailor in Hong Kong. He does like
Hold on a second. He's a Hong Kong tailor and he's a tailor in Hong Kong? You're fucking kidding me.
He does a lot of bespoke suits and people fly all over.
Did Nadav go get a suit from him?
No, he got one from someone else, but I think someone might go see this guy very soon.
Okay.
So check him out. He's
very
cool.
You might see him on the next live show, is what you're saying? Just saying.
Wait and see.
Oh my God, who's going to go to Hong Kong? You? Okay, well, we'll see.
Harry needed a beautiful suit, a simple suit, a classic suit. So here's what I created for him.
I mean, is it the man or the boy?
A very classic two-button jacket with a shop window semi-notch lapel.
The Caucasian dude.
It's hot, hot, hot here in Hong Kong. So a half lining to keep him cool. And no Sam's Tailor video would be done without a look at our customers. Gorgeous ass. Can we zoom in on that ass?
Gorgeous.
Harry, are you happy?
Yes, I am.
Say it again. They can't hear you.
Yes, I am.
Thank you.
Very happy with this.
I mean, the man is so handsome. I just want to kiss him. Can I kiss you?
On the cheek. There you go.
There we go.
$50.
No problem at all. I'll make you another suit. Look at this suit. What a suit. It makes me want to kiss him.
$50.
My signature, one button, a burgundy button, deep press stitch on a fish mouth lapel. Look at the roping on the shoulder, my Barchetta breast pocket, the kick and curve, the peak of the pocket square. He has a dinner button. Look at it. In ivory, oh my goodness, I'm falling to pieces.
What's a dinner button?
Man. My 4D fit, the pop over the butt. Let me open him
up. I gotta say, I want to go get a suit.
All men that come here, this is tight, tight, tight. I like tight, tight, tight. Look at this. And look at his ass. What an ass. Every Sam's Tailor pants gives you an ass like this. Hugh, are you happy?
Very happy.
Thank you. I can't remember if I wore this one to bed tonight or I just went to bed with him. From the way he's looked, disheveled and all, it looks like we've been rolling around the hay together. But yes, it is another suit, another new suit. Can we zoom in and see my buddy over here and what we've got from Xenia? I think it's cool effect this time. It's absolutely glorious. He gets really, really hot, especially when he's around me. He starts sweating.
It's so weird. Buckets. This guy gets so turned on by talking about tailoring.
He's like every single one of these is is vaguely sexual.
Yeah, vaguely.
On the shoulders,
it's I'm going to kiss you. He just rolled around and slept with me.
My 3D fit. The dip into the back is the 4D fit. Yeah,
everything is about the ass. I want to see their ass. I want look at his ass.
Open him up. Glorious. Proprietary Xenia lining, tight. Can't even get it off.
Oh, I hate it when they're tight around the arm, don't you? I hate jackets when they're tight around the arm.
On camera, he gets really shy. Can we see half lining for Hong Kong? Can we look at that ass?
I would tear that half lining up in no time. I'd rip it or something.
Sam's Tailor pants.
So you have to go to Beijing to get the suit from this guy?
Or Hong Kong or
I'm happy, but I'm not sure my wife will be when she hears that you've been in bed with me.
She's blocked me on Instagram already. Angie, you naughty girl.
I must say. Seems decent, I must say. So, yes, or is it, what's it, what is it, Kowloon Loon? What is it across the there's...
He's in Hong Kong.
There's Hong Kong on one side and Kowloon on the other. That's what it's called, Kowloon. And, well, and he does not seem to be Asian. He's sort of Indian, I guess.
And y'all got my hopes up. I thought we were going to see somebody die or at least be maimed.
Oh, we could treat that,
let's
too.
Do that. No problem. We got that for you, Ryan. Here we go. I knew he's, you know...
Or is he getting maimed in the next... Oh.
Uh-oh. Car. Uh-oh. Repair shop. Everybody's... Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Shit. Oh, my God. Oh. Oh, my God.
How does that happen?
There's no one in the car driving it. He, like, did it himself.
Yeah, so he had a screwdriver, and he, like, changed... gears. From, like, neutral to drive. Yeah.
Oh, my God. And he's got the car just slammed. Now that the thing he was slammed into seems fairly flexible, but God knows there may be something right behind it that he got smushed into.
Yeah, I don't think he made it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he definitely didn't
terrible.
Make it. Terrible. He broke too many bones.
You know, I was helping my dad. He split his lip in a tennis accident, and he's on blood thinners, so I had to hold pressure on his lip thing. And we were waiting in the ER in a room, in a trauma room, and they rolled a guy in who had been working under his car, and the car landed on him, right? So he was crushed by the car landing on top of him and was under there for like 12 minutes or something. And I heard and I saw what they were doing to resuscitate him. And they worked on him for like an hour or something. And the guy made it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so there's a lot they can do if they get them to the right place. But that did not look like an environment where there was a trauma center nearby.
No. So. And yeah. But and also, I think the movies have fooled people into thinking that like that you surviving tragic shit that happens way more often. You know what I mean?
Look, just go no further than the Three Stooges. One of those head whacks could change somebody's life. Yeah. Just the way that they'd hit each other over the head with 2x4s and things. Not the same person after that hit. And yet they do it all day long as though, they shake their head like, that's terrible. Or people getting knocked unconscious as though they just wake up again. What's going on? They're completely normal.
Is it too late to diagnose CTE in the Three Stooges?
Oh, interesting. Well, Curly died young of a stroke, and Larry did okay, and he had got a lot of head whacks.
Did Mo live the longest?
I think so, but he wasn't the one hitting the head so much. He was the one hitting everybody in the head with hammers and shit.
Yeah, so, I wonder if they might be the first case. Do they have any problems with violence or emotional instability?
Well, not just on one another, it seemed like. That was the whole foundation of their comedy, right? Interesting, very interesting. Yeah, I have a friend of mine, who's a football player, was asking me lots of questions. He was an NFL player, was asking lots of questions about how we're going to. They worry about it, reasonably. I mean, they get hit a lot, and they worry.
They don't worry about it enough to stop playing football.
Let's just say the secondary gains are pretty substantial. Yeah. Take that risk, and I get why they would. I get why they would, and they love it too.
Actually, all the ones that have problems, they still don't regret playing.
Is that true?
A lot of them don't.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. Did you ever play football?
No, I mean, very, very briefly. But
if you love that game, it's a real hard game not to stay with if you love it.
Yeah, especially if you think you can be great.
Oh, my God, can you imagine? I mean, you're making millions and millions of dollars. I mean, that's quite a lot of...
I mean, most of them are making like hundreds of thousands of dollars, but that's still a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, let's
watch one more person die. Well,
yeah, get Brian. Brian really felt happy about that last one. He didn't laugh the way Tom does. Did Tom laugh at that video?
I think so.
Of course. Of course
it's so much easier to laugh at them when I know they did it to themselves.
Oh, my God.
It's like he deserved it. There's some safety rule that he wasn't following.
And I'm sure. He's going to show us something else horrible. Uh-oh. Oh, my God. Jesus. What kind of car is that?
It's a McLaren.
Oh, my God.
Was the guy inside?
No, I don't think so.
Oh.
We just pulled that for Tom because he loves McLarens.
Oh, because it's a warning for him.
Yeah.
All right, let's see something else.
Uh-oh.
Oh boy.
Do your fucking job.
Wow. That is like a 40-year-old woman, would you say?
Yeah, but meth always makes
That's what I'm saying.
Why would a meth addict want coffee so bad?
She don't want it that bad because I would have stayed. When I'm on coffee, I'm hanging in through the bad service.
Right.
So, yeah, no. And we both knew that was meth right away, right?
Oh, yeah. You could tell by the walk.
What was that? What's the walk? Show me that. Show me the walk. I want to learn something here.
I was talking with Danny Reynolds. Like,
get her down there. All right. What is that? It is an abnormal walk. Is it putting the feet, like heel to toe almost, they kind of walk?
No, it's just what happened when like their hips are all the way gone.
Yeah.
So there's no reason to sway them shit. So
it's like a tightness in the hips?
Yeah, I think because they walk, like their hips are not open.
Yeah.
They still walk like they got a fat ass, but they, but there's nothing there. You know?
It's like walking with a fat ass with no ass.
So it's like it's like negative cheeks.
Negative cheek force.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else you got, Zolo? This is good. I like this stuff. And making Brian happy. Uh-oh.
No, never. You will have to bodily injure me to get me to cooperate. Call an ambulance. Take out Zyprexa. It's not going to work. No.
Take out Zyprexa. She knows the meds.
I'm busy. Don't armbar me, fucker. Stop. Get the fuck off of me. Dang, fucker. Get off of me.
Stop.
I am your boss now. You take me to the fucking station.
That's where you're going, honey.
I don't want to defund you.
Do you
want to
stand up?
I don't want to defund you.
Damn.
I got you. I got your arm. He has your other arm. We want to make this as comfortable for you as possible.
My tits are all you fuckers! Get off of me!
Stand up.
Get off of me! Blue lives matter!
Do you want to stand up?
Or are you yelling?
Or are you comfortable?
I find us too! I'm a female! And I don't even own my uterus anymore! I have a political campaign I'm running. Ow!
Sorry, that was an accident. I'm sorry.
Get back off! Leave me alone! Kiss my black ass! People love me, by the way. I told them I want to get in every black person I know. I want to get into a fight with Nicki Minaj on national television, call her the N-word, and have her tear out a weave that I'm wearing. Every black person laughs their ass off when I say that. I like plants more than I like shit that's not alive.
People. Holy
no,
shit.
I love people, but you treat me like garbage because you don't respect women. And that's
so.
This woman is amazing.
Yeah, I love her, right?
What I want you to know, she talks like William Montgomery used to talk when he drank a lot.
I can see that. Yeah. I can see him doing that. Well, and she is probably intoxicated and probably manic. That's bipolar disorder mania.
Yeah, I'm guessing mania for sure.
Yeah.
She's definitely off something, some kind of antipsychotic.
Yes, she should be on something. She knew the names of the meds. She mentioned Zyprexa early on. She said, shoot me with Zyprexa. And so she's been in the hospital before. She wouldn't understand all that stuff otherwise. But guys, the most astonishing thing about her is she is a female Fed smoker. And you notice how some of the language is very similar to his stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She's got a lot of black friends.
And she's got a lot of black friends. She's hilarious. How's she doing for you, Brian? Everything?
No. being people's black friend is a young man's game.
And you don't think the Nicki Minaj fight's a good idea? You think people like that?
No. I mean, they might both have the same issues, though.
Ooh, touche. I'm a Nicki fan, I got to say.
I like Nicki, too, yeah. But she can afford her meds. This girl can't.
Fair enough. And what was the other thing? She said something in there that got my attention. There's a lot packed into this one. I'm surprised you guys have hid this one from me for so long.
She said that she was their boss now. She said
that's a very Fed smoker line.
Yeah. And she doesn't want to defund the police, or she does. Oh, I knew what I was going to say, which is, hey, ladies and gentlemen, when you look at Twitter and you feel bad, these are the people that are making you feel bad. This is it. She's on a political campaign. She doesn't want to defund the police. She's yelling about Roe versus Wade because she doesn't own her uterus anymore. This shit is all over Twitter. So whenever you go on Twitter and you start to feel bad because stuff people are saying at you, think about this young lady. Do we have a name for her yet?
Yeah, it's like she is Twitter.
She is Twitter. This is Twitter. And we're all in this together. Look at her t-shirt. She's not a racist. She's in it. Oh my God. She probably, you know, probably she strikes me as somebody that at some point in her life probably was a racist. You know what I mean? Like really was for real stuff. Old school racist.
Yeah, for sure. Like one, at least one of her personalities is still racist. Yeah. For sure.
Do we have a name for her?
We don't have a nickname, but her real name is Erin.
Erin.
Yeah.
Erin. All of us, all in this together.
Fed smoker.
Yeah, she was like, Blue Lives Matter, and I love black people in the same.
Is there is there anything in there more with her? Not so much this particular episode, but I'd love to see other episodes if they're available.
Is this from Cops?
What is this from? Do we know?
This is body cam footage that she uploaded herself. Like, she somehow got this and was like, I need to put this out.
There's got to be more with her out there.
She has a whole channel.
Oh, yeah, and?
A lot of fun stuff, a lot of this type of stuff.
So she gets arrested for content.
I don't think she does it on purpose.
Can you give us one more? Maybe while we're doing I'll do a email and you can see if you can find another cool.
Okay.
She's a real cool guy, a cool girl guy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Hi Hitler. It's something they say here. My wife and I are thinking about trying for a baby. Whilst we know we need to cut down cigarettes, my question is, how do I make sure that I dump quality cum into my wife's vagina? I love the way we speak here. To minimize the likelihood that we produce anything that doesn't become a cool guy, should I be emptying my balls in the days preceding? How long prior should she be off contraception? Any advice be appreciated? You bet I'll coming up in May. None of those things you're talking about do anything to the genetic makeup of the offspring. All that stuff does is impact on your ability to conceive, which is a different issue than whether or not you're, you know, creating problems genetically downstream. The thing generally is to, you know, reduce masturbation, to wear underwear that lets your testicles kind of hang free a little bit. Don't spend times in hot environment like a hot tub. And for the young lady, generally speaking, everything is restored within 6 months off birth control pills. You want to get off it for a little while. This lady looks incredible. I think I'm going to have to study this page.
Drew, can you clear something up for me?
Yes.
I heard or read a couple years ago that sometimes long-term birth control, a lot of times what happens is women are on it long-term, and then they get married, and then they get off it to try to have children, and then they realize that they don't like the person they married to.
The hormones affected their attractions and things.
Right, right. Is that any?
There is a lot of worry about that kind of thing, like that somehow all the medications and the hormones, and even the hormones that we're consuming in liquid water and milk and things, is affecting how we relate to one another. And it makes sense for females in that a lot of the motivation is. Their biological motivation is geared towards reproduction. And so they might be attracted to somebody that is adulterated in some way by these medications. That kind of thing. I think if it happens, it probably happens on a very subtle level. But when you talk about a whole country being on these medications, I think the effects could be a little more profound than we think. So, yeah, I do think about that stuff and worry about it. What do you got, Solo? Too much? You have to go collate it?
From her channel?
Yes.
So it looks like almost all of it is like her doing music, and I think that's just one cool
special
clip.
She's doing music?
Yeah, like covers. Mm-hmm.
Cover of what? Name a song I know.
Welcome to the Jungle.
Okay, can we hear that?
Sure.
What's
going on there with the... Wait, I saw guns drawn there for a second. Did I see that? Oh, well, let's listen to this first.
Welcome to the Jungle! We got everything you want, honey. We know the names. We're the people that you find. Whatever you may need, if you got the money, honey.
Okay, please.
Enough. Yeah, thank you.
That's definitely Manny. I feel like Manny is kind of like being on a coke bender, huh?
More like meth. Meth psychosis, right? Meth psychosis and mania. Look identical clinically.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And did you see some of that shit in the homeless shelter?
Oh, yeah.
That's how you got to know this stuff.
Yeah.
You've seen it a few times, like, oh, that's that.
Yeah. That's why it's easy for addicts to point out other addicts.
Mm-hmm.
You start recognizing the body language and the look in their eyes. And,
yeah.
You know what I mean? The way they're looking around.
Yeah. It's all very characteristic. So there were not guns drawn there in that one video. I saw another body cam type video, I thought, next to in the jungle. There, the green one. Bottom. See the green there?
That's the one we
That's where we already saw. So they came with some guns initially, it looks like. Mm-hmm. So. All right. God, well, thank you for sharing that.
We gotta give her a cool guy name.
Yes. You got any ideas?
Not off the top of my head.
All right. Is there any other stuff out there to make us happy? You've been making us very happy, Zolo. I appreciate the little romp we've had.
Oh, check this guy out.
Okay.
That's not Tom Brady.
Why'd you get arrested then at the score?
Because I was around there, you sped. You 7 News. You 9 News.
Do you think it's gonna look good on the news carrying on like a total?
I don't give a fuck. I didn't do shit, so fuck off.
Are you gonna be fighting the charges?
Yes.
Coming back for round 2.
Alright, we're gonna have a chat.
Round 2, let's go. All give right. me them
let's
on.
To go. No, I'm looking for them.
No. I robbed that store, so you guys can go jamming up your ass.
Are you on anything now?
No.
Do you remember anything that happened last night?
Yes, I remember everything. Walking home and I get arrested for some bullshit I didn't do. No, bro, you're retarded. Bro. Why would I go rob a store and then walk through the park and walk back to the place I just robbed?
How's your night in the watch house?
Oh, yeah, pretty good, eh? Yeah. Your mum came around and she came visit me. I had a pretty good time, to be honest, yeah.
What are you going to do today?
Probably go see her again. That sounds like a good idea to me.
Are you going to go back to the watch house?
No, I'm going
to
go see his mum. Then I'm going to go see your sister.
I don't know, sister.
Oh, sorry. But you will in 9 months, won't you? You don't get the joke because you're retarded.
So sort of man equality there too, but not really so much though, right? Just mostly asshole.
Yeah, mostly just an ass. And there's a deep insecurity there.
Oh yeah. Well, look, he's wearing like a Gucci hat, he's got designer T-shirts on all the time. Very weird.
Yeah, like it's almost like he dressed to be a meme.
To be a meme, yeah.
Yeah, just like hoping somebody would get a.
Yeah, that's what he's looking for. And he knows these guys won't air this stuff on the air, really, but very, very interesting dude.
Yeah, is this not Australia, this the other place, New Zealand.
Oh, is this a New Zealander?
By the way, he said no. No.
The other place. Yeah. Well, hard for me to relate, but I think back to, you know, the early days of television, you know, the 50s and 60s and stuff, and imagining anybody speaking in any way sort of off, you know, using language like that or anything like that. It's unimaginable. I think even a psychiatric patient would have had more containment, or they would have pulled him away before we had a chance to do all that or say all that. It's interesting. We have changed.
Yeah, we've definitely changed. But at the same time, it's like, I think we're just able to connect with, like, no matter how rare your particular brand of being a piece of shit is, there's a group of you.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
You can contact. You know how you see documentaries about, like, how there was a serial killer husband and wife combo, and you know, in the 40s? And you're like, well, how do you meet someone in the 40s, like, without the internet, without forums, without anything, and know that they're cool with killing people? Right? It's like.
But now, how do they meet each other? How do they find each other? How do they know to talk about that with each other?
Well, now you don't have to worry about it. There's murderers only apps or something like that.
What?
I'm sure there's.
There must be.
Yeah, there must be something on the dark web.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Murderers only. Well, again, the way I encounter it most is on Twitter when I see these siloed kinds of people. They're all kind of the same. They come out, and when they come out of the woods and come after you, there's a whole bunch of them that come after you, and they're all kind of the same.
Yeah, they all use the same attacks.
Yes, same language, same outrage. Here's some vagina in and around my mouth. My girlfriend and I disagree on how HPV causes throat cancer. I assume I've heard from admittedly uneducated sources that throat cancer from HPV is caused by where it is contracted. The mouth. From eating my girl's sweet vertical smile, and as well as vertical cervical cancer being caused by making white deep inside her. To make it this language. To me, it makes logical sense that there is a clear connection, seeing as how that's where contact was made and cancer is formed, that general location. She believes that the area the HPV is distributed has nothing to do with where it shows up in your body. I hope you can clear this up. Don't pee somebody beat me and blah, blah, blah. It's better to be pissed off than pissed on.
So she thinks
that somehow it's going throughout your body and then comes out in a certain place.
Right. He's saying, like, cervical cancer's cause somebody with HPV coming inside you.
Right.
And he's saying it's caused by, it can be caused from him eating her out.
So here's she's saying that you contract it anywhere and it can come out somewhere else.
Okay.
Okay. He's saying the point of contact is where you get the warts or the cancer. So let me, because he was sort of right and sort of wrong. So
can here, I guess this one?
Yeah.
I think the point where you initially contacted is probably where you're going to have your first outbreak.
Yes, true.
But not necessarily, but it can spread anywhere else.
Not sort of yes and sort of okay. No. So it is generally like syphilis or like herpes that it's the point of contact, because the warts and those areas where the virus is really reproducing is what creates the contact and creates the transmission.
Okay.
So the reason the cervix gets it is because that's where the tip of the penis is. Right. And not because it comes out in the semen so much. It's a skin to skin kind of transmission, okay. Or at least skin to, you know, cervical membrane kind of thing. Same thing with the mouth. The mouth, you know, your skin is a much thicker barrier. The mouth is a very thin barrier. So if there is, you know, you're getting fluids in your mouth or you're getting a penis in your mouth, that shit gets right in there. Now, it's not strictly speaking, because obviously vaginal fluids also have the virus in it. And so you're sort of swallowing those and they get into the throat as well. And when we say throat cancer, we're really saying head and neck cancer. So it's all in this region. It's the pharynx, larynx, all this region up in here. And and Michael Douglas even said it out loud. He said, I got it from eating pussy. He said it on a golf course one day. I heard a sort of off-the-cuff interview on somebody's iPhone. And that's it. You get it from mouth-to-vagina contact or mouth-to-penis contact. And by the same token, you can transmit it to those areas if you have it in your mouth and throat. More commonly, it's genital to genital contact.
But isn't it pretty much gone?
HPV?
Yeah.
It's much better because of the vaccine. But we still have lots of people getting cancers now because they contracted it years ago before there was a vaccine. So we're seeing a marked uptick in head and neck cancers in men, HPV-related head and neck cancers, particularly in gay men, but also in straight men. So yes, good times.
So
get your damn vaccine.
But you can't get it for men, right?
Yeah, 100% men get it. And there was a long time when you couldn't get it in your sort of middle ages. Now you can't. Anybody can essentially get it.
Oh.
So you can protect yourself against you know, the six subtypes of HPV that are more likely to cause cancer. You're not 100% protected, but you're pretty well protected.
I'll take 90-some.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's good. And I would say, you know, the people that take issue with the HPV vaccine, I can't get my head around it. It's a very safe vaccine. There's had some stuff like every vaccine, but for the most part, it's very safe and it prevents cancer. Head and neck, penis, cervix, anus. Look, all this cancer has been going up because of all the HPV flying around, and we can take care of that. Why you wouldn't, I don't know. So did we get to, oh, let's say we did that.
Are the Booth boys, are you guys vaccinated against HPV?
They probably got in there a little. They probably got in there like 12 years old.
Oh, because they're younger than us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they was available then. That's when it has optimal benefit.
Yeah, back in my day, you just had HPV.
Mm-hmm. And you got that shit.
And you dealt with it.
And then the doctor came at you with a laser or something to fry off the warts.
Yeah. What do you know about freezing off your warts for prom? You fucking spoiled. Nothing, fortunately.
You've not had that done?
Nope.
That used to be part of the ritual of going to prom.
Oh, man.
Get the liquid nitrogen on your peni.
Yep.
Oh, God.
Everybody knew.
We now have this thing called Aldera cream that's pretty good, imiquimod.
We really are living in the golden age of
medicine. There's so much we can do.
Yeah, medicine, comedy, fucking is on an all new level.
Porn.
Yeah, porn, movies.
Movies.
Yeah, we're living in the golden age, but also
it's got a lot of baggage with it.
Yeah.
Our brains can't handle it.
Yeah, our great grandkids aren't gonna enjoy life at all.
Why? It's gonna be too much.
I just think it's gonna just be hot all the fucking time.
Oh, is that
the extreme weather events and I mean, maybe they're just, I'm sure they'll figure out some different way.
Yeah.
But they're going to be around when the resources are really running low. And it's going to be wars.
Mm. Yeah. That, well, on that happy note, maybe we should say farewell.
Oh, no. Yeah.
So, no. Is there any more for us to look at here? Have we seen everything?
We have one video from Tom's new best friend.
Oh, come on now.
Okay.
I got a view. I like no one calls me Brad because that's a... I don't know, that's like the public name, so it's always B or Beep or Biz or Bees or Pizzle or, you know, something.
Oh, is he...
Wow, that just made him way less cool.
Does he have some bodies hidden somewhere? Is that what you're saying?
No, he's just a friend of Tom's, and Tom, you know, calls him these different nicknames, so we thought we'd share it.
That's nice.
Tom calls him all those things?
Tom invented all that?
He calls him, like, Pit Stop, mainly, I think. Yeah.
I want you to know that I know lots of sober people that have been in and around him in his recovery, and they say he's a great guy.
Wait a minute. Oh, he's in recovery?
That's what I hear. And in his recovery, not in recovery, not such a great guy, as often people aren't. But in recovery, I hear he is a really, really good guy. And so let's give him somewhat of a break, even if Tom thinks he's his new cool guy. Is that what we're saying here? Tom's kind of thinks he's a cool guy?
No, Tom is genuinely just friends with him.
Yeah. Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, they're buddies?
They're buddies.
Well, that makes sense. Because and Tom says what I'm telling you, which he's a good guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you be buddies with Brad Pitt?
I don't know.
What does that entail?
Brad's come to some of his shows. I think Brad's a fan of his stand-up.
Does he call him Bizzle or whatever?
He calls him Pit Stop. Yeah.
B-Pizzle?
Yeah, B-Pizzle, BP. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to call him Bitty Pitty.
It's a good one.
He since he got let's talk a little Brad Pitt shit for a second here. Since he got out of that relationship, which was not good.
Angelina Jolie?
Yeah, I knew that was a disaster from the moment it all started. I knew that was gonna be a catastrophe. And apparently a substance issue too, which makes you not such a great guy. And you know, when you're in a shitty relationship which is chaotic and using substances, you're probably not fun to be around, probably not a great guy.
Yeah.
But in recovery, I hear nothing but just like I get to hear stuff from, you know, these various communities and things, and I get to hear who's really in it, who's really serious, and who's really actually a great person. And I hear that about him. So let's hope that's true. Yeah. And if Tom Segura signs off on him, I sign off on him.
I always hope that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe Tom and Garth will be good friends someday. Maybe that's what'll happen.
That's another thing, Doc. It doesn't matter who you got HPV from, because I feel like if you get HPV from a horrible person, that it'll be like a worse strain.
Well, not necessarily. It doesn't correlate quite like that, except to say that horrible people might get exposed to more strains.
Uh-oh.
And the more strains, maybe the more you come upon something nasty.
Have you ever come across somebody that had all of them?
We don't really test them for strains. You know, what you sort of see is like, well, now they're coming up with an abnormal pap smear, and then they're coming up with a wart, and then they're coming up with, they come up with different things that in my head sometimes is different infections. So.
But like, has someone ever waited too long to come to you and they finally come see you and you go, oh, wow, like you have AIDS, cancer, HPV, and a cold?
Yeah, commonly, I believe the data when I was working deep in the STI world was if you had one, you likely had three.
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. And AIDS was not an uncommon one.
I'm surprised they don't. There's not more being about, because Burning Man just ended.
Yeah,
and as crazy as things get out there, as crazy to me that there isn't more talk of rampant STD spreading.
Well, I don't understand Burning Man. I see a lot of couples go out there. Are they stepping out? Or?
Yeah, they stepping out. Yeah,
really?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, unless they stay handcuffed to each other, you don't know what you're...
Well, you're all loaded and stuff, too, the whole time, yeah, right? Everybody is.
Well, yeah, everyone's loaded. Everyone's going in and out of this and that. Everything's free, you know? Yeah, if you bring somebody to Burning Man, they fucking somebody else. that's almost a wrap, a guarantee.
Make note of that, all right?
Yeah.
Not going to Burning Man soon. Well, Brian, it's great to see you again. As always, a pleasure, a privilege.
Thanks, Doc.
Congratulations on everything that's going on with you. Keep going.
Thank you.
Don't get too tired. Get those sugars smack in there. I want to see like 90 to 110. I want you really in there.
I'm locked in.
All right, good. And then that arm thing will probably get, unless it's from the meds, which is another possibility, but don't worry about it too much. Guys, thank you so much. Thank you, Brian Simpson. Check him out, BS with the BS podcast with Brian Simpson, or BS with Brian Simpson, yep. And the stand-ups, this season three of the stand-ups on Netflix, and BS Comedian on Instagram. And for me, you know where you can find me, but I'll see you here next time.
All conversations and information exchanged during participation of the Dr. Drew After Dark podcast or interaction on the DrDrew.com website is intended for educational and entertainment purposes only. Do not confuse this with treatment or physician medical advice or direction per se. You must always follow your medical professional's advice and direction. Nothing on these podcasts or posted on this site supplements or supersedes the relationship and direction of your medical caretakers. Please understand, I am not playing the role of physician in this environment per se. I'm educating. I am a licensed physician with specialty boards in American Board of Internal Medicine and American Board of Addiction Medicine.